Happy Thursday, everybody. Patrick and I are doing our all-NBA ballots. Let's get into foul trouble.
I have whiplash.
Why?
Because the Phoenix Suns are just like jostling me around like nobody's business. I was like crying all day to you yesterday that the Suns are just like so busted, which they still are busted. But
they beat the Nuggets in Denver.
Beat the Nuggets in Denver.
I feel like season saved.
Season saved.
I mean, it has to. Okay. For those of you, because obviously none of you are eavesdropping on Patrick and I's private conversations, or at least I think you aren't. But I come into the kitchen yesterday and Patrick is there and I'm like, we're talking kind of about our all-NBA ballots that we're about to talk about. And he's like, I don't know if I'm going to put Booker or Durant on an all-NBA team. And I was like, Devin Booker's pretty good. I don't know. Like, he's going to qualify.
I was emotional. It was post-losing to the Wembyless Spurs. But then, yeah, last night the Suns just go and look like the team that you always – I mean, of course – Jamal Murray's not there. Yusuf Nurkic isn't there. It's a regular season game, but wow, I needed that. I just needed that win.
I saw, you know, KD block Porter, you know, Jr. on a dunk. Like, you know, you guys are...
Five blocks from KD last night.
The NBA standings are getting really, really interesting because the Knicks creeped up to the 3 seed last night. The Mavs, you know, two nights ago stole that 6 seed.
148 points by the Knicks?
Yeah. Absolutely insane. The Timberwolves are back up to 2.
Let's go.
The Lakers. And off the market.
I feel like the Lakers are becoming like scorching hot as we're hitting this like.
Yeah, I mean, the Mavs are 9-1 in their last 10 games. The
Texas team's undefeated since Texas banned porn.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really, yeah. Makes you think. I was it not aware of this.
You can do the math on that one, folks.
We're just giving you the information.
Yeah, the Spurs won again last night. Yeah, it's kind of been a crazy, like, curvy end of the season here.
Yeah, I mean, and then now we've got less than 10 games left, and everything seems to be just maintaining this same level of chaos. But today, we have gathered here to talk about something completely different than the standings and the end of the season seeding races that we're going to be talking about the next, like, 2 weeks, and that is All-NBA.
I told you yesterday, I've been dreading this podcast since the day we decided to do a podcast.
Yeah.
Because I think quibbling over the All-NBA teams is such a difficult exercise, and so I came into it kind of very fearful of, like, I hate ranking the players because I honestly feel like it's one of those things where it's like you take a Donovan Mitchell or a Tyrese Halliburton, right? Like, if they played 10 times, chances are, like, they'd outplay each other 5 times each. So how do you defectively say, which is the definitively, you know, this one's second, this one's third? I kind of always hate the quibbling about that.
And now it's so much harder because you're not only comparing players against the other players at their position. It's positionless this year, so you're just comparing them against everybody. Like, how do you compare Sabonis to a Anthony Edwards? Like, there's just so many ways you can go about it.
We could go off cool dunks.
You can go off cool dunks. You can go off cool hair. James has got a cool new haircut.
You could go off softness of the handoff action.
Alphabetical order.
Yeah, alphabetical. Okay, so should we just start with our first teams?
Yes. These are gonna be close to the same. I feel like as we go through this exercise,
I just spilled coffee all over myself as I say I'm quibbling over this exercise. Okay, we're having a fun morning. You know what? Now I can spill more coffee. I've already spilled a little bit.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm free.
Now, if you need to do any like spit takes, because of any of my takes. Okay, so I'm assuming that you have Luka Doncic,
yes.
Nikola Jokic,
yes.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander,
yes.
And Giannis Antetokounmpo,
I do have
all
those
in
four.
Your first team, All-NBA. Do you want to talk about those four guys further?
Well, okay, so Jokic, Doncic, and Alexander, obviously the three leading MVP candidates. Jokic best overall player in the world. He's going to win MVP. You know, Doncic leading the league in scoring. Probably, maybe, would you say, I guess it's him or him as the second best half-court passer, and then you can quibble with him and Halliburton for overall, you know, including transition.
You're saying Luka or Jokic?
Luka for second, behind Jokic.
Yeah.
He's just the wonder kid.
Halliburton's really, really, really good at that. Yeah. But Luka is right there with
Shea. Has been the league's most dominant isolation player. He's led the Thunder to a great record. Just an overall unstoppable force. And Giannis has been... For as up and down as the Bucks have been this whole season, Giannis has been really, really, really good the whole time.
Yeah, just like a classic Giannis season. Really like a return to form in some ways. Like, of course, he was first team All-NBA last year, but like 30-11-6 on a 62% effective field goal percentage is just...
Yeah, and it's the reason we're not talking about Giannis like the MVP when he's averaging 30-11-6 is because we've got Luka averaging like 34.
Yeah, 9-9.
Yeah.
And Jokic is doing all the things he's doing while being in the number one seed in the West.
So the fifth spot's the interesting spot because it feels like, you know, with those four, we've got our two guards, we've got our power forward, and we've got our center. And I know we're kind of positionless now, but obviously there's four small forwards that just kind of neatly fit into completing the first team, and that's LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, Jason Tatum, and Kevin Durant. So it was kind of like a pick one of those four. And who did you pick one of those four? Or did you go pure positionless?
I did pick one of those four. And so when we were chatting yesterday in the conversation that we were alluding to earlier, James was asking me who I had, and I hadn't done any research yet. And I just automatically assumed like, It's gotta be Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum is the best player on the best team. He's incredible in his own right. And James was like, you gotta look into it, man. It's not as cut and dry as you may think. And I have to say you were correct. It is LeBron James is having a hell of a season. Like, I knew this, but when you look at his numbers compared to Jason Tatum, really, it's just like LeBron has been so good for the Lakers on defense. So, and that's kind of a watch. I think like in a vacuum, Jason Tatum is a much better defender at this point.
Especially
in their careers.
In isolation.
Not even close. But team defense wise, and like the Celtics are not backing him up. They have really great personnel, so that kind of affects the on-off splits a little bit. But, you know, replacing Jason Tatum with Sam Hauser is not the best thing that you could possibly do. And all of those, like, on-off splits lean LeBron. The efficiency leans LeBron. And then the creation really, really leads LeBron.
Yeah, so I was surprised because when I brought up all four of these guys, because I've seen most people's lists have either Tatum or Kawhi first team, but like LeBron is more efficient scoring than both of those guys this year. LeBron is obviously a world's better passer than both of those guys. When it comes to rebounding, actually all three of Kawhi, Tatum, and LeBron are pretty competitive, but just like, I don't know, I kind of just feel like LeBron's the best rebounder out of all these guys. I mean, LeBron is playing with Anthony Davis.
I mean, I don't know if LeBron's the best rebounder, but I don't think there's enough of a gap to make me like choose one of these guys because of their rebounding prowess.
And what you were alluding to earlier is with Tatum, there's no real difference in the Celtics defense whether or not he's on the court. Now, part of that is like, that doesn't mean Tatum isn't an impactful defender. I think he actually is an impactful defender. It just means he's playing on a really good team. But with LeBron, we see this crazy like leap in Lakers defensive efficiency when he's on the court. And I think it's because just the IQ, the ability to call out other team sets, is so much more impactful to helping your defense than maybe isolation defense, especially in the regular season for a wing. Because usually the guys isolating are the guards.
Absolutely. And then you look at a guy like LeBron versus Kawhi, and I think the playmaking gap between the two of them is so huge. And I think of these four guys that we're talking about, Kawhi is the best defender in a vacuum as well. It's probably like Kawhi, Tatum, LeBron, KD, who KD has been amazing on defense.
Like, I think all four of these guys are pluses for their team's defense.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So that's why you like you have to grab on to something. And I, at the end of the day, ended up gravitating towards just LeBron's creation. And that put him over the top for me. I chose LeBron.
Yeah, I chose LeBron too. It's weird because it's like, I don't know. Yeah, I chose LeBron. I think the other thing too is because when I laid out all the stats, right, it's like Kawhi is like the number one defense guy. And then Tatum has the wins. And then, but it's like LeBron has like the efficiency. LeBron has like the creation. It's like LeBron kind of has everything except for like one or two categories. So it's like he's winning in all these categories. With Tatum, I think the Celtics 2-0 with the Lakers.
Christmas and
yeah,
one other
but when
game.
It came to,
yeah.
And I feel like with all NBA and NBA awards in general, no one ever considers the head-to-head, like ever. Like it's never really taken into account. But I don't know, man. I saw Kawhi blow the like 20-point lead to LeBron James. Like I kind of seen LeBron just kind of own Kawhi in the clutch this year. So I'm kind of like, I feel like that has to factor in a little bit for when I'm like looking back at the season.
Yeah,
as to who I'd want on my dream team.
I mean, I'm not considering like
head to head
matchup really at all in any of these places, but I am considering like runs of teams, and Kawhi's fall off in the second half of the season of his shooting efficiency has greatly affected where the Clippers are right now. And I don't know, like maybe it's not, you could quibble with a couple teams in the NBA, but I think there's probably the biggest red arrow downwards next to the Clippers name right now than any team, just in terms of like vibes, in terms of
wins.
Yeah. They looked, it's very rare to look like such a contender in, you know, 2 months of the season, and then look how the Clippers are looking right now.
I feel like sometimes in the NBA, we really are starting to see this more with these high 40-win, low 50-win teams, which is where the Clippers are going to end up, where it's like they're really propelled by kind of a crazy, like, 30-10 stretch. But then the rest of the season, you know, they go, like, 20-20. And
yeah.
I kind of feel like maybe did the Clippers peak too early? Is that a thing? Because I feel like peaking too early is like a thing I'm noticing more in the NBA now. And I started to notice that when we talked about our Jazz episode, when I was like, it's kind of weird that like almost every team that like just misses the play-in will have an 8-2 stretch.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Just something to put away as we enter the playoffs, I guess.
I mean, my thing about it is like it wasn't like it was 25-5.
Yeah, they were killing
it. Like that is just it's extended and it's just like aggressively dominant.
Yeah.
And they were winning games against really, really great players as well. Or really, really great teams. But yeah, so I went with LeBron. You went with LeBron. Did you grab any stats, any fun things? I've got some like some Luka, like 25 and younger, first team all NBA things.
I didn't grab much stats with these guys. The one thing just with LeBron that I just wanted to talk about, it's funny, we're spending the most time on the guy that we think is fifth on our ballot for this team. But like I watched this whole thing about how he reworked his mechanics, and it's like for this guy who's the all-time leading scorer, came into the year as the all-time leading scorer to rework his three-point shooting and footwork mechanics, like, and just execute it flawlessly to the point where it's like everyone here is going to think Tatum's a better shooter. LeBron's shooting like 3% higher than him from three-point this year.
Yeah, I mean, LeBron is a solid 40% shooter. The only other time he's done that is like
Miami.
One of his Miami years, and he wasn't.
He's not as good of a shooter then as he is now.
But even just like the attempts were not even close.
They're way more selective
to what it is now.
Too.
Yeah.
I just think it's incredible like this guy's able to rework his game. I also think his handle just looks a lot tighter this year than it has in years past. And I think that's going to be part of his evolution if he does want to keep playing into his like lower 40s.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, LeBron's just so sick. I mean, this might be
one of the best players.
He just might be. I think this will be his 17th first team All-NBA.
My God.
Which is like a record that is just probably never going to be
broken
or even sniffed.
Yeah.
For you look at guys like Luka. So this will be if Luka
will make the first team
All NBA this year. This will be his fifth time
in six seasons.
In six seasons, first team All NBA. And I was like, that there's no way anyone has done it before. People have done it before, very few. So we look at people who have done it in their first to sixth season. There are actually 5 guys that have made first team All NBA six times, and then there's 3 more that have done it 5 times. But all of those guys are like the Jerry West, the Bob Pettits, the Elgin Baylors of the world that, like, of course, you guys are coming into the NBA at like 23 years old. You guys are finished products. The one guy that's like, of course you're here. It's the same kind of thing. It's Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
First 6 seasons of his career, all first team NBAs.
Does Jordan not have that? And is it because he had the broken leg season, I'm guessing?
So Michael Jordan he had the broken leg.
He's 4 for 6 then.
Yeah, 4
so
for
no
6.
So no rookie, no broken leg.
Exactly.
Okay, gotcha.
Exactly. And then you look at guys 25 or younger, how many times they've been first team All NBA. The two guys that are above Luka are Tim Duncan, who we've already talked about, and then KD, which he had such an incredible start to his career. So Luka, we all knew this, but
he's good.
Just to contextualize it, you know, he's still plugging away at this like all-time great pace for being just a super dominant regular season player.
Okay, second team, third team. This is where I'm almost more willing to be in discussion mode than actually just saying my team mode, because I'm way less sure about who should be on my second team versus my third team, who should be on my third team versus just out. I think this is a good section. I wanted to give a shout out to 2 players. Number 1, of course, Joel Embiid, who would have been a first teamer if he didn't get hurt. And number 2, because I don't think a lot of people are going to realize this, because Donovan Mitchell is not going to be eligible to make an All-NBA team this year, and he was the first name I had written down on my second team ballot.
Yeah. Donovan Mitchell definitely would have been a pen guy for one of my teams, but he's just been out a lot.
It sucks. He's been so freaking good. I didn't realize just like this, you know, this streak of him continuing to miss games. Like the Cavs just drifted to 4th place in the standings.
Okay, so who you?
I don't like my team anymore. I assume you have Durant. So I do have Durant.
I assume you have Tatum.
I do have Tatum. I have a quote from another basketball podcast. Shout out to the Thinking Basketball Podcast, because I feel like this was a really funny way to describe Jason Tatum. This was from Cody from the Thinking Basketball Podcast. Quote, perennially the 8th best player in the league. Regardless of what the rest of the league looks like, Jason Tatum will always be around that like 8 to 10 spot. And I feel like that's very accurate. So my initial ballot is Booker, Curry, Kawhi, Tatum, Durant.
I don't have Curry on either team.
Wow.
I don't have Curry on either team. The creation is just not there for me for Steph this year. Obviously, hyper efficient. But also the scoring didn't blow me away in a way that I felt he deserved a place on either one of these teams.
I feel like Curry's creation comes more indirectly, though.
That's not quantifiable.
But just his impact on the game is immense. Like last night, you know, Draymond gets himself also NBA. Draymond Green almost like paralyzed Patty Mills 2 days ago. How is this guy not suspended? What are we doing? What are we doing? How are we letting this like MMA fighter just continue to pretend to be a basketball player? I'm very confused on that. But I don't know, man. I just think Steph is still like that good. And I kind of think there's like this deteriorating team situation around him that's just like constantly in flummox. So I'm still really high on Curry. I guess I'm guessing you had Halliburton in his spot.
Yeah, I didn't have Halliburton in my second team, but I did have Halliburton in this group.
So I guess the guy I think some people might be like, well, the two guys, given their place in the standing, are your Suns guys.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those weird things where the Suns are 7 right now?
Yes.
Eight.
Yeah.
Seven or eight.
No, 7. We are now 7
after the perception
yesterday
of the Suns is like, oh my God, this team is super disappointing. But it's like, if you just switch the conference the Suns were in, they're like third. Mm-hmm. So if these guys were both on the third place East team, would anyone quibble about that?
No.
And I don't think so either. And I think having 42 wins in the West, 43 wins now.
43 wins now.
43 wins in the West is a lot more impressive than having 44 wins in the East, a la the Bucks.
Yeah, I mean.
So.
There's a reason why you look at all of the remaining schedule difficulties for all these East teams, and they're all like the easy schedules because they have all of the worst teams in the league are in the East.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Like the playoff teams in the West are stronger, and the bottom teams in the West are stronger. Like the Grizzlies are like a 26 win team.
Mm-hmm. Let's go Rockets, baby!
Yeah, the Rockets. The Rockets are awesome.
On the rise.
My Rockets.
Another one on the list.
That was the team I forgot about. So for those of you who are listening, I listed out seven teams that were, quote, my teams. And then I ranked them in our group chat later that day. And I forgot the Rockets were one of my teams. But no, they are one of my teams. I've been on Team Rockets this whole year.
Quickly rising, just yeah. Like in the standings.
Well, I got flack for having the Knicks and Heat and Sixers because that's kind of like a three-way rivalry. But I feel like, is it sacrilegious to have two Texas teams?
It depends on when, but I
feel like the Texas teams, I feel like it's kind of been like Mavs versus Spurs and Spurs versus Rockets, but there hasn't, has there been a big Rockets versus Mavs? I feel like we've never really had
they kind of miss each other throughout NBA history when they're like super elite, like the Harden teams. I mean, the Harden teams kind of overlapped with some of the Spurs teams, but that was also like,
well, we had the Spurs Harden series where Manu had the block on Harden. We're getting so sidetracked, but yeah, I don't know. I will say, I feel like my second team, I'm not the most confident in, but I feel like Booker's just been that good. Like, it's just one of those things where their place in the standings is really, like, I feel like throwing off the perception. Because we talked about, like, Jalen Brunson. Like, in the news, every time the Knicks win, it's like, Jalen Brunson does it again. He's the man. And, like, yes, I have Jalen Brunson on an LNBA team. Don't worry. But, like, the Suns have, like, the same record as the Knicks. And Devin Booker's been really awesome. He's an elite, efficient player. He's kind of playing out of his normal position. So I kind of got to give him a boost for that, for the team playing well, even though, again, the perception of the Suns is pretty negative. Kawhi, Tatum, and Durant were the three guys we also had quibbling for that first team spot. Durant's probably my fifth guy, actually, even over Curry on the second team.
Okay, yeah, yeah. I had Durant and Tatum right there for, like, the sixth guy out of the first team. But so what's your full team? You've got Durant, you've got Tatum, you've got Kawhi. I've got all three of those guys on my second team.
And then
I've
got Curry and Booker.
And you've got Curry and Booker. And then I've got Sabonis and Davis.
Okay, I like that.
I ended up choosing...
No guards.
I got no guards. I'm like going all willy-nilly, and I feel like this is super like off script for me to really lean into this new rule and go away from the five positions, the historically accurate, how we've rated players on an all-NBA scale for all of NBA history. But I ended up kind of coming to this realization that, like, not only has the prerequisites for all-NBA changed, but the results for all-NBA has changed in that now when you're all-NBA, you can make more money. Like, there's that, which affects your team's salary cap and affects like the league at large and how different teams can function and build out. And I think like looking at Bradley Beal is an incredibly talented player, but I don't think he's a super max talent.
No.
And arguably he never really was. And that was a direct product of all NBA being structured in the way that it was. Mm-hmm. I don't know that maybe he was arguably a top 15 player in the league at certain times, but I think that's a really arguable thing. And I really think supermax contracts should be reserved for top 15 players in the NBA. And so that's why I leaned away. I will say I have a lot of guards on my 13. Third team. But so that's why I had Sabonis, Davis, Kawhi, Tatum, Durant. Where do you want to go into?
So Okay, so we briefly talked about this off the pod, but the biggest issue I had putting together my teams was this Anthony Davis versus Sabonis thing, because Sabonis kind of has Anthony Davis beat on like basically every metric. He, you know, swept the head-to-head. And so with my LeBron criteria, obviously, if I'm going by the same criteria, I have to go with Sabonis. But when I watch the games, when I watch the eye test, from what I've seen just this season, is I still think Anthony Davis is just a flat-out better player. And the problem for me was I have Sabonis on my third team, but I don't know. You're kind of talking me into...
Get them both in there. Get them both involved.
Well, so we're talking about second teams. But the thing is, I'm locked in on my first team.
Okay, yeah. No,
I think my second team, my third team, I'm willing to switch some people down. I feel like Booker has been too good. I can't believe you don't have Curry on one of these teams. I just feel like Curry's just so good still. I don't like to punish guys.
Hey, these guys are good.
Yeah, all these guys are great. I just don't like to punish guys who are on these like deteriorating team situations.
I'm not punishing him for that. He just like he doesn't have the scoring numbers. That's his thing. That is the one thing that he brings. Like obviously efficiency as well. But I just think these other guards that are in contention all. Production-wise, bring another thing to the table than pure scoring. Like you look at like an Anthony Edwards. This guy is one of the most talented defenders for at the guard position. Devin Booker has had one of like a very rare like scoring slash like creation, at least production-wise season. You look at just like his raw stats of 27 points per game and 6.9 assists. That's been done 40 times in NBA history, or 42 times in NBA history. 40 of those times, those guys have made an all-NBA roster. I totally agree with you. He just has to be in there. We don't have to go too deep down into our third teams right now, but I just like Curry's right there for me. I have to put these other guys ahead of him for one reason or another.
Fair enough. I think my problem right now, and it's not actually anything to do with that. It's that I've got these three players in my head, and it's Sabonis, it's Davis, and it's Jaylen Brown. Okay. And I'm like, one of them has to be left off my three teams.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why at the top I was like, I am dreading doing this podcast because like, I don't know, man. Like I, like again, like everything I see, everything in my heart, my gut tells me Anthony Davis is just a better player than Sabonis. So if it comes down to one of those two, I have to leave Sabonis off. But if I'm not going to be a hypocrite, I'm like, okay, Sabonis has been way more efficient. Sabonis' handoff game. Even in that Kings game, they lost the other day. Sabonis had this like wicked pass from like the low baseline where he's getting like 2.5 teamed and he just fucking whips it. But man, he's not a good defender. And then Jaylen Brown is just like, I know we've had so much Jaylen Brown discourse. Jaylen Brown's been awesome this year. And I think like part of why Tatum is a second team guy for me, not a first team guy, is there are too many Celtics games where it kind of feels like Jaylen Brown's like, oh, is Jason sleeping again? Okay, I guess I'm going to do it tonight. And he does. He comes through most nights. So I don't know who to leave off because for you, you left off Curry. So I'm assuming you have all three of those guys.
I do not have Jaylen Brown.
You don't have Jaylen Brown. Okay, so I'm curious who the other player is that you have that
yes,
I don't have.
I do have a mystery player that we will reveal later.
Okay.
But I will say, for the Sabonis argument,
I've made my decision.
I want to throw in a little bit more context. He is not the ideal defensive player, but I will say this is a regular season honor, and the Kings have the 17th best defensive rating mm-hmm. in the league right now, which I would say for their personnel, you know, a team that's trotting out guys like Kevin Huerter and Malik Monk, huge minutes. And having a short center as your, like, basically defensive anchor, that's pretty good. Like, I will take that, especially with all that they are asking him to do on offense. He's their hub. He's like his assist numbers are really, really great. He's one of, if not the best rebounder in the league. And then his scoring numbers are right there as well. But you made a decision.
Yeah, I've decided what I'm going to do with my 30 team.
Okay. Okay. So
you've talked me through some things.
Hey, that's what I'm here for, man. Okay, so
I feel like I'm in a therapy session right now. Now you're making me feel insecure about my Curry pick. It's just, I don't know, man. I still think he's just really, I don't know. I just think the indirect impact, because I think his first MVP, he had pretty lackluster scoring numbers for an MVP too, but it's just like, he's just doing so much to impact the game.
I would be with you on like look at his impact on the game if the Warriors weren't like ready to fall out of the 10th seed.
I mean, he's got, I feel like a chaos agent ready to actively work against the team. Draymond Green is like publicly complaining that LeBron hasn't gone on his podcast while his team is falling apart. Like, that's what Curry's working with this year.
That is true.
Okay, so what was your full second team? Sorry.
So I got Durant, Tatum, Sabonis, Anthony Davis, and Kawhi Leonard.
Okay, yeah, you had the two bigs and I had the two guards. Okay. Okay, I like that. I like that. I think your team is a... I think I might have to say, Patrick, I think you've made a better case for your team than my team. But I think... Again, not to be hypocritical.
Stick with your guns, man.
I just think if you told me, we're going to start the 2024 NBA season, you know, do you want Devin Booker or do you want Sabonis? Like, I kind of want Devin Booker.
Yeah, no,
I kind of want Devin Booker more than Sabonis.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah. All right, should we get to our third team?
Let's get to our third team.
Okay.
Okay. So
Brunson, yeah?
I've got Brunson. Okay. I've got Halliburton. I've got Halliburton.
Edwards.
I've got Edwards.
Okay, and then...
I've got Booker.
Okay, and then I have Sabonis and Davis. See, I had Brown on, but it just doesn't feel... Davis has to be on. So I've got Davis and Sabonis on the third team.
Okay, and then... So the
who's
one
this mystery player?
Person, you can probably guess my mystery player because I find a way to bring him up every single episode.
It's not Wemby, is it?
It most definitely is. No! Victor Wembanyama. This dude is averaging 20 and 10. He is what I consider to be the best defender in the NBA. He's also averaging 3.5 assists from the center position, which is pretty good. I was comparing him against guys like Jaylen Brown. I was asking, who would I rather have, Victor Wembanyama or Jaylen Brown? I would rather have Victor Wembanyama. Who would I have rather have, Victor Wembanyama or Steph Curry? Honestly, I would probably rather have Victor Wembanyama.
You're crazy.
His impact defensively, you put Vic on the fucking Warriors, that defense is next level good.
And that offense is next level bad.
Maybe. I'd love to see Wemby with Chris Paul, though.
Too far.
I'd love to see Wemby with Chris Paul. The numbers that he's averaging... We have seen many, many people average those base raw numbers and make all NBA teams in the past, and they're not necessarily like next level defensive savants. So I realize this is a hot take.
You got a crush on him, just admit it.
But I've got a crush on him. Let me like Wemby before the Spurs start ripping out my soul in the playoffs.
What I love about Patrick is he's like so old school and he's like always showing love to the bigs, and as like a big man enjoyer, I really like it. And I guess to your point, I'm a big man enjoyer, yeah.
This is a big man enjoyer podcast.
I think what's hard with Wemby, right, is like, I think what makes LeBron's, I feel like him versus these other forwards is a really good like kind of like tone setter for how we view a lot of these arguments. What's really impressive about LeBron versus Tatum is like Tatum is in this godly team situation, but yet his efficiency is so much lower. Whereas with Wemby, it's not just like the team situation is not conducive to him playing well. It's like the team situation is actively working against him and making him look a lot worse on offense than he probably is. So how do you quibble with that versus like a Jaylen Brown or a Stephen Curry? For me, that was a little too tough, even though I'm with you on that regard. But yeah, I guess for me, Jalen was my first guy out. But I don't think it's crazy. Like, if there was a fourth team, I'd probably have Wemby on it.
Yeah, and the other thing is, I didn't pull these exact stats, but it would be one thing, and it would probably be enough for me to keep him off if Wemby was just sitting at these percentages. He's shooting 32% from three, 46% from the field all season. But we have seen like a steady and pretty like dramatic increase in his percentages month by month throughout the season. And to where it's like, I've seen this guy as like a more hyper efficient, like, I think the guy that we are going to see in the future. There was, I think, like a month and a half after the All-Star break, he was shooting like 40% from three in that time span, which is like absolutely game changing.
I guess though,
his usage is like cranked up to the max as well.
I guess though, I feel like you have to maybe not weigh every month of the season equally. I don't think there's anything wrong with maybe weighing the first month a little bit less, but a guy like Jaylen Brown has been awesome from the opening tip.
That's
Stephen
true.
Curry, I know you're not as high on him this season. He's just been, you know, at this level pretty much the whole season. He didn't ramp up to it.
Yeah, I mean, this kid is also 19 years old.
Yeah. Well, there's no handicaps for the All-NBA team. There's no asterisk for the All-NBA team.
And hey, I don't think he needs it. I think he'll get been it next that year good. For sure. I think he'll get votes this year. I don't think he'll end up being on. But this is really a testament to what I see on defense from this guy. And then also just the raw production that we've seen on offense. I think he's probably closer to a top 15 player in the league right now than a lot of people would like to admit.
Okay, if we're going to make one change to our team, because I think this is where, when the actual ballots come out, this is where I think me and you are going to have a big miss. Do you want to guess?
Where?
It's a guy we both have on the third team that I think is going to end up on the second team.
Oh, Edwards?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought about that. I thought about switching Anthony Edwards, honestly, with all of Sabonis, Davis, or Kawhi. And really, a lot of that is
What's so difficult about parsing wing players is there's so many great defensive metrics for bigs.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so few good defensive metrics for wings. So it's really hard to quantify the difference between an Ant and Durant. Because obviously I feel like we all lean toward offense when we kind of are doing these like stat based comparisons. But so I guess if you were to move Ant up, if I was like, you have to move Ant into your second team, who are you taking out of your second team? I guess, I don't know, man. For me, like, it's kind of weird because you've kind of swayed me a little bit on Curry, but I feel like Durant's kind of the guy where I'm like, there's just this underwhelming fourth quarter stuff has kind of been like a season-long trend.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a total season-long trend. And it really has stemmed from KD in the fourth quarter for the Suns. Especially earlier in the season, we went through that long stretch where we didn't have Beal and a couple shorter stretches where we didn't have Booker, where we were asking KD to facilitate the offense and run the offense in the fourth quarter. And that just led to super high turnover moments. It turned to him kind of just like running into a wall of super, super hard shots that sometimes he would make because he's Kevin Durant that, like, I think no one would make in reality. So I think that's fair. But also, I don't know, Kawhi has been so bad post All-Star break from what I came to expect from him.
Yeah.
And you can't really, like, I think the on-ball defense is kind of right there in the same realm for the two of them, Anthony Edwards and Kawhi. And Kawhi doesn't quite have the, like, scoring bump that that others do. So I don't know. Yeah, you could go with Durant too. I think any of those four.
What's crazy to me too is like these All-NBA teams, I'm like fretting over like, I don't have Jaylen Brown. I'm like, you know, I'm even thinking too, like, I'm like, oh my God, like, Paul George has been pretty fucking awesome this whole season. Like, it's insane how stacked these All-NBA teams are.
Yeah.
Like, think about, like, a guy who I always thought was really, really good. But, like, circa 2012, like, Al Jefferson is, like, your third team.
Yeah, for real.
Like, Al Jefferson is not making, like, the 10th team.
Yeah, no. Well, especially, I think it would be a really interesting exercise to go back and say, like, if we didn't have positions, how many All-NBAs do some players have? Because there's guys like Al Jefferson that it's like, you have no more. You're like, you're not an All-NBA player. Like, I was looking, I was really surprised.
I think the real thing is, like, I don't know how the NBA, because I think it did weirdly, it's going to mess with NBA history a little bit when we go, like, 20 years from now and it's like, wait, so Jokic and Embiid were first and second in MVP voting every year, but somehow they have, like, this weird lack of first teams between the two of them because only one of them could get it every year?
Well, yeah, and that's the worst place where that happened is the center position. Like, I was really surprised. Do you know how many first-team All-NBAs Bill Russell has? Bill Russell.
Probably not many because
the guy who's, yeah, he's three. Three first-team All-NBAs. When he was like, he won 11 championships over a 12-year span. And then you look at like a guy like Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard was pretty dominant. He was good. But is he five first-team All-NBAs good? I don't think so, you know? And then there's other guys like Patrick Ewing. I don't think he had any first-team All-NBAs.
And it's tough because you're like, you're playing in the Olajuwon era. And it's like, I mean, you're really good. You're probably an all-time player at your position, but it's Hakeem Olajuwon.
And David Robinson. I think Hakeem probably doesn't have as many first-team All-NBAs as he should. David Robinson has four, which is like very, very high. It's just like, it is going to change things, but I do think that in the long run, it will be for the better.
I think it'll be for the better too, because it is somewhat ridiculous that like last year, Jokic isn't a first team center. Mm-hmm. And like, as it was really ridiculous 2 and 3 years ago that Embiid wasn't on the first team as well.
And it's like, we're not going to have DeAndre Jordan winning
first team All NBA,
which is crazy.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm pretty confident in my first team. I'm a little less confident in my second and third teams.
Yeah.
I feel very bad about leaving Jaylen Brown out. But yeah, I don't know. Anthony Davis has just been really awesome all year. He's been playing all year. That game-saving block against Lillard the other night, like, just huge. Like, he's such a big game player.
Totally. To soothe your concerns about Jaylen Brown, to the Steph Curry argument that you laid out for me, like, we can't be punishing Steph for his team scenario. Maybe we can punish Jaylen Brown a little bit for... See,
this is the problem, though. I can't punish every Celtics player for being like, they play with other good players. It's like, okay, well, you know, if they're all good players, at some point, some of them need to get some recognition for this awesome team that they're all a part of.
Well, Jaylen Brown is getting recognized, let me tell you.
That's
by
true.
The tune of the most expensive contract in NBA history.
Max, any thoughts on All-NBA teams?
Ant is too low.
Well, I have to move him up to the second team. I had to try to force him in there.
I mean, that's like the bare minimum you gotta do.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Ant probably belongs on the second team.
Yeah.
But It's hard to do this exercise.
It's tough. I would be willing to move Ant up in place of Curry or Durant for my second team, but I think Booker, Tatum, and Leonard have to stay for me.
Love that. I would put him in place of Kawhi, probably.
Where was Giannis?
Maybe
first.
Okay.
First
team. Okay.
Yeah.
Just checking.
Yeah, Giannis. That dude is gonna have quite the resume. I think this is his sixth. This will be his sixth first team All NBA, which puts him in the company of the other guys that have six first team All NBAs: James Harden, Kevin Durant, Hakeem Olajuwon, Dolph Schayes. Like, just all time dudes. And I don't think he's gonna stop anytime soon.
I see this debate, like, weirdly debate online, but I think we should save this for the off season. But the who should be higher all time, Giannis versus Durant?
Yeah,
we'll say that for the off season.
That's tough. Yeah, I think this postseason is going to have so much like sway on that conversation. And we are a little too close to it, I think.
A little too close to the sun,
to really discuss it, because it's hard to watch what Giannis is doing right now in like squarely in his prime.
Yeah.
And then watch KD, who is like just like leaving his prime
a
little bit.
He's out of his prime.
Yeah.
He's definitely out of his prime.
Oh, this is completely unrelated, but I've seen some posts online that talk about how Paolo Banchero is just like criminally underappreciated. Do you guys have any thoughts on that? Like, do you think he could find himself on like a third team All-NBA at some point soon, or a second team?
I do.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I think he really could, because like the Magic are really, really awesome, but it kind of goes back to this thing Patrick and I alluded to in the beginning, where it's like you take the eighth team in the West and they have like the same record as the Magic. So it's weirdly like if you put him in the West,
what would happen?
What would happen? Yeah. Not, I think he'd still be awesome.
Right.
But I do agree with that. I think maybe we are sleeping on Paolo a little bit, I guess.
Why do you think that is? It's just nobody cares about Orlando? Like,
I think their scoring numbers, their offense is just not that elite.
Okay.
I mean, it's not elite at all.
He was shooting like 45% the first 2 months of the season, and he's really tailed off on the three-point. But they're still good. They've been pretty hot lately. They lost to Stephen Curry last night, though.
I will say nice things about Paolo.
Yeah, I've
about
got nothing bad to say about Paolo.
The leap that he's had in his creation abilities throughout this year has really, really impressed me. I think, like, the general talk about the Magic is like, oh, they've got these big wings in Franz and Paolo, and Franz is more of like a point forward, and Paolo's this finisher. And Franz has had kind of a tough year.
Yeah, he's kind of
this
had
year,
a down year.
Especially from a shooting efficiency. And Paolo has just really grabbed that mantle. Like, I think there's a chance that Paolo really has a moment in the playoffs this season. He's unstoppable. Like, he is so strong. He is still so young. He is only going to get better and better and better. And I think with more improvement, I don't have his percentages.
I'll put it this way. I would have him above anyone on the Heat. If we were like to go down to like a fourth team and a fifth team, I'd probably have him above Jimmy and Bam for sure. Mm-hmm. I'd have him above Trae Young. He's honestly, he'd probably be right on my cuff.
Okay. Shooting 35% from three this year, has a 50% effective field goal percentage, which is pretty good for a guy that has the ball in his hands away from the basket as much as he does.
My favorite Paolo thing, unrelated to his stats or his game, is that dude screams so loudly that if you're watching Magic games, you can hear a lot of obscenities, which is just him screaming F-bombs.
I have heard that.
You've heard those?
Yeah.
There's a lot of in-arena footage of, like, people who are at Magic games, and you can just hear him being like,
oh, fuck!
It's so funny, bro. It's so loud. I don't know if he's just maybe doesn't have the highest pain tolerance, but it sounds like he is just getting beat up in some of these games.
Yeah, I mean, this dude is a monster. 250 pounds, 6'10". But you like, look at his personal offensive rating. It's 109. Like, from a, like, scoring wing, and when we were looking at an All-NBA ballot, I just feel like that's not quite good enough, especially... He's a good defender. Obviously, the Magic have one of the most elite defenses in the league, but I don't think it quite, like, the juice quite matches the squeeze for him to make an All-NBA roster. But I think... I wouldn't be surprised if next year he was on... an All-NBA roster.
Another exception, I was thinking, you didn't have Maxey on the list anywhere, right?
I didn't. I just don't think that...
He's not quite there yet.
Yeah, it's okay. Just kind of hard because it's like, if we're going to do just guards, like, is he Halliburton? I don't think he's Halliburton. Mm-hmm. Is he Booker? He's not Booker. Obviously, he didn't have Curry. I had Curry. I don't think he's...
Yeah, I would have had him below Curry.
Okay. It's tough. I mean, with Brunson, I think him and Brunson is kind of a fun quibble, but I feel like Brunson is just, you know...
Yeah, to talk about, we didn't really talk about Halliburton at all, and Halliburton has really fallen off from a scoring perspective ever since he returned from his injury, but like, I cannot stress enough, what we've seen from a playmaking perspective is like all-time stuff this season. Mm-hmm. When you like, if you're looking at per 100 possession stats, which is a really good way to kind of like smooth over stats over like pace or era or anything, we haven't seen like a raw production of assists totals from a guy like Tyrese Haliburton since 2011, 2012, Steve Nash. Like, this is really, really elite, and he belongs here. Not to mention, he's up for an extension, and I think he's the kind of talent that deserves a supermax.
For sure.
Yeah. Taking care of your health isn't easy, but it should at least be simple. That's why for the last year, I've been drinking AG1 every single day, no exceptions. It's just one scoop mixed in water once a day, every day, and it makes me feel strong and ready to take on my day. That's because each serving of AG1 delivers my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's a powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully simple. AG1 has been really helpful for me because lately I've been on a lower calorie, super high protein diet, and I need to still get my vitamins and minerals, and AG1 makes that really, really easy for me. I just take it every day in the morning, and my whole day is just ahead of me, and I feel great throughout the day. If there's one product I'd recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1, and that's why I've partnered with them for so long. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/foultrouble. That's drinkag1.com/foultrouble. Check it out.
All right, should we get to a hot streak shooting slump?
Let's do it.
Yeah. All right, Max.
All right, y'all. I'm not a heater.
Let's go!
No, yeah, I've had a really good week. Just been like sleeping really well, been working out, been like getting a lot of work done. Just feeling great. Last night I had an amazing dinner with some of my friends. I was telling James about this. We went to this place called Pija Palace in Echo Park. Have you been there?
No, I haven't.
It's like Indian Italian fusion. Ooh. So like it's like pizza with like curry and Indian spices on it, and then like there's like a pasta, like a rigatoni, but it has like it tastes like chicken tikka masala.
Oh,
it's
that
insane.
Sounds incredible.
And then like wings with that are like buffalo wings, but like spiced like Indian spices. Oh my god, it's so good. So we just like balled out, ate way too much food. I felt really sick afterwards.
Hell yeah.
It was sick. And then, you know, also a little Wolves corner. You know, we're on a 3-game win streak.
There we go.
Back to the 2 seed. Technically tied with the Thunder, but since we have the win streak and they have one loss, we're right above them.
Well, don't worry. The Suns are going to take out the Thunder on Friday.
Hell yeah. Yeah, and so our reward for doing so well is that we get to play the Nuggets on Friday. So, cool.
Nice.
And then I think I mentioned this before, but we have to play them again on April 10th.
Oh, that's true. You guys have like a lot of Nuggets games to close the year. Not fun.
It's not fun. But yeah, you know, I'm wearing my Jimmy shirt today just to channel, you know.
You're stupidly locked in.
Yeah. James Buckets energy for the rest of the season.
Let's go.
Folks.
Let's
love
go.
That. Love that.
Playoff Jimmy Buck energy.
Yeah. Playoff Jimmy. Not regular season.
I guess I'm on a hot streak. I've had a pretty good week.
Streak up.
Yesterday was a really fun day. We went out for lunch for Jesse's birthday, which was a nice change of
so much
food. Yeah, we picked out. That place was really good. Love a hot wing at noon in the middle of the day.
So yesterday, Jesse and I concluded our basically 90-day fitness face-off, where we were challenging each other to get a six-pack, and I achieved a somewhat defined abdomen, but I would not call it a six pack. But I have been eating like very strict, like 2,000 calorie diet. I have been working out and getting like 12,000 steps a day. Not to hijack, but
I just have to
tell the story from
lunch.
Yeah. So I'm like, I'm ready to celebrate, and Jesse's like, I'm gonna celebrate too. And then Jesse's on like day 5 of like acid reflux, or I don't know.
There's something going on.
I think he has a stomach infection. But anyway. I'm like, we
not
get to
speculate.
Table. There's like 7 of us at the table, and I'm like, I'm gonna get a mimosa. And then she's like, "What do you want? Water? What do you want? Water? What do you want? Water? What do you want? Water?" And it comes back, and I'm like, "Oh, just me."
I would have joined you, but I had to go back to work, so I just felt like water was the move. But you know what? I really anyone that can be the first one to order a drink, order an alcoholic beverage. Nobody else gets an alcoholic beverage. And then you just stand firm in your decision. It's, That's why I respect you, James. That was a great move.
Yeah.
Very, very respectful. Other than that, I mean, that was really fun. And then I have kind of a big week at work this week, but just like, you know, sometimes that's good. You know, you got a purpose. It's all going to come to a culmination this weekend. So I'm excited about that. I mean, that Nuggets Suns game really like put like a bright spot in my week. That was great. I celebrated my buddy Drake's birthday this weekend. We had like a nice little fun kickback.
Drake,
I had
like the Drake?
Or the Drake.
I mean, I can't confirm nor deny that.
Aubrey.
And then yeah, I had a show last weekend that went really well at a new theater, which was exciting, like getting a new relationship going with that. So that's exciting. But yeah, hot streak. What about you, James? Where are you sitting?
Streaking.
There we go.
Hot streaking.
Triple streak, baby.
Triple double, baby.
It's been a good week. Obviously, yesterday I had the big lunch with Patrick. I stuffed myself. I felt so sick. Yeah, I had the buffalo cauliflower. I had nachos. I had my mimosa. I had, what was the other app we got?
The burger.
Oh, we got mini burgers. We got bacon Brussels sprouts.
Oh, bacon. Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
those were legit. They had like figs in them as well. They were delicious.
Got a pastrami Reuben. I'm a sucker for a good like Reuben. Oh my god. Yeah. Got fries. I haven't had fries in 2 months. Got sweet potato fries. Oh my god, dude. I ate them all. We go to the cupcake place. For those of you who don't know, the Cupcake Wars champion who wins every year versus the other champion.
Sweet Arlene's.
Sweet Arlene's is in our small suburban town. So we went there. I got one of their massive cupcakes, scarfed it down. I felt bloated and sick the whole day. But nope, family birthday dinner. So went to a steakhouse, got more food. After that, I was like, I am so full. But you know what? I have been craving this entire fitness journey. I need to go to a Froyo place and just load it the fuck up. So wow. I got a giant Froyo bowl to top off my night.
Elite moves. You're kind of.
I feel like I celebrated my brother's birthday harder than he did.
Yeah, I feel like you undid 2 months worth of fucking.
I think I might have. I pigged out, but I'm going to go back to being healthy today.
James, you're kind of burying the lead of the biggest, most like pointed thing that you did yesterday.
Oh yeah, I dyed my hair. Yeah, my whole life I've always been someone who experiments with my hairstyles, and I've been like, you know what? I've been rocking the same hairstyle for like a year and a half, 2 years now. It's time for a change. So I'm going blonde.
No, it's good. You look like a Scandinavian bombshell, man.
But other hot streak thing, as you guys know, we've had the House Saga. We go over the House Saga almost every week on this podcast. It's usually the driving factor of my streaking or my slumping. And two houses went up for sale in this neighborhood, guys. Both sold within 10 days of getting listed. And this is one of those neighborhoods where like every fourth house has the same layout. And one of those houses, same as mine.
Okay. There we go.
And dare I say, a lot uglier on the inside from their Zillow photos. So I'm ready.
Thank you, Joe Biden.
Thanks, Obama.
Thanks, Obama.
They teamed up to design that house together.
Yeah, they did. They
well, so that house, I think, was built in the 50s. So I think Joe might have personally built it.
Okay, cool.
All right. I think that's our streak and slump.
Yeah, that's
all streak. Is this the first triple streak?
In a while.
I don't think we've triple streaked in a minute.
Yeah. No, we definitely
It's historic.
Haven't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We should celebrate.
This will go down.
We should celebrate.
In the
you guys
want to
get
books.
Mimosa?
Yeah. Let's go get some mimosa.
All right. I'll catch you on the next one. Peace.